Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, smart brand marketers. Today with me, I have Alyssa Meredith. She is a content marketing manager at Tailwind and founder of AlyssaMeredith.com. And she is sitting in a car right now. Hey, Alyssa.
Good morning, Tom. Yes, I am sitting in a car. And I broke one of the biggest rules of being on a podcast, which is to make sure that you knew how to pronounce my name. It's Alyssa, like Lisa with an A in front of it.
Alyssa.
Yep.
Would you like me to redo the intro?
Just for the guys right now?
Okay.
However you like.
Let's do it. Just hold on 1 second. We'll just keep going. Okay. Guys, scrap what I said before. We are with Alyssa Meredith. Okay,
hey,
we can
Tom.
Continue.
Okay. Okay. Good boy.
So the one thing that I've seen on your website, a lot of Pinterest.
Yes.
And,
yes, this is accurate.
And I knew someone before that used to work in Pinterest, a friend of mine, and he couldn't get work, so he's doing crypto now.
Okay.
So it seems like you know how to make it work, so we can finally figure this out together.
I hope so.
Just before you start, I just want to let you know what I want the audience to learn. And the one thing that really caught my attention is you had a blog post that said how to create a sales funnel on Pinterest.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really think of Pinterest as something to build a sales funnel. But I mean, it makes sense because it's just any platform. But to me, it was just, you know, ladies putting pictures of stuff. You know, just I didn't really, I know it's me a little bit too, but that was my vision of Pinterest.
Okay, so you do use Pinterest as well yourself?
This was my only use of Pinterest before. I have an SEO company. Okay. We opened a Pinterest account just to get a few backlinks in, and we posted a bunch of pictures of logos on there and let them
know. Oh. Okay, so you don't use it personally for your hobbies or anything.
I don't, but I know that some of the listeners would like to use it or do because they have Amazon products or other things they sell which do work in visual media.
Oh, totally. Yeah. So I think that part of, like you said, you had a friend who tried to make it work. It couldn't. And I feel like that may be happening more than we know because the Social Media Examiner does this survey every year where they survey about 5,000 marketers and they ask, you know, what's your most important social platform? You know, what's the most effective? And Pinterest always comes in near the bottom. But I think that the reason for that is kind of a lack of understanding of how it works. So you just mentioned that, you know, you heard about the sales funnel with Pinterest and how that was a little surprising to you at first. And I think that is surprising to people because they don't quite understand how Pinterest works or how people use it. So if somebody is going to be using Pinterest for their business, I suggest that they start out using it for themselves. And that way you could kind of get into the mindset. So even if you feel like I'm not really interested in Pinterest, surely you have some kind of interest, a hobby or something, right? So if you have something that really you really geek out about, get really excited about, I suggest you start just collecting things on Pinterest. And that will help you kind of figure out how people use it, right? We use it to collect ideas for ourselves that we're going to use later. And the interesting thing about Pinterest is that people use it to plan way, way far ahead. And then they actually do buy. So that is both the challenge and the beauty of Pinterest because, you know, you're getting people way higher up in the funnel. And 97% of the searches that are run on Pinterest are unbranded. So that means that they don't already have an idea of exactly what they want. Right. So they're looking for ideas and they're open to discovering new things. So that kind of evens the playing field for some smaller brands. But then again, it will take longer for them to get from that process of just starting with an idea all the way through the purchase. And I think that's where some people kind of lose Pinterest. They don't understand that. And also, they don't understand that it is a search and discovery platform as opposed to a social platform. So they may go in being accustomed to likes and shares and comments. And when they get to Pinterest, it's a whole different world, which it is. So there's kind of a disconnect. They expect the same things to work. They don't work. But if you figure out how to use it, it absolutely can work.
So you just sort of answered one of my questions, which would be, what's the difference between Instagram, which is super popular now, especially since we can, you know, target ads from Facebook on it, versus yeah. Pinterest? I do think that Instagram can be used as a search a little bit with the hashtags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So how would you say Pinterest is different and maybe better for putting up products?
Okay, definitely different, right? So Instagram is really good for brick and mortar, for local companies, and for kind of building a following based on your personality and behind the scenes. Whereas Pinterest is a really good place for more of a national business, and people really don't care about your behind the scenes. So where your holiday party photos might do really well on Instagram, they are not going to do well on Pinterest, because people on Pinterest are there for themselves. They're not there to see how you want to present yourself. They want to be inspired and informed and to start planning their own lives. So you have to kind of meet them where they are in that planning and looking for inspiration.
Could you give an example of a strategy? So like if we're thinking of, let's say, a sporting goods company, right? And uh-huh. they have jump ropes and other things. And obviously they would show a bunch of behind the scenes and the girls working out on Instagram. Mm-hmm. How would they move that over to Pinterest to get their best bang for the buck?
Right. So they want to go more with a lifestyle on Pinterest. So what they might do is if they had, let's say, a guest workout instructor for the day and they shared that on Instagram, well, what they would do then is then turn it into a blog post. And it doesn't have to be a long one, but just a blog post, maybe outlining how the class went, what they did, ways people could do this at home. And then they create a pinnable image that they share on Pinterest that then links back to that page on their site. Because one of the big strengths of Pinterest is that they do send people from Pinterest to other sites. They want people to go do things. So unlike Instagram, where it's hard to get a link, Pinterest is all about links.
What types of images do you think work best? What would you put on this image?
So lifestyle images definitely do better than straight product images. It's probably a good idea to do both, because Pinterest is investing heavily in visual search. So it's important for Pinterest to be able to identify what is in the picture if you want to get all you can out of search. But the images that translate into sales are lifestyle images. So you might show a lady in her workout clothes or a group working out. And that way people can kind of picture themselves in this lifestyle, because that's what Pinterest is all about, your lifestyle.
So how important would the hashtags or keywords be in around this image? Because I know there are ways of putting those into on Pinterest.
Yeah, so keywords are very important. Keywords in your profile. And again, Pinterest does look at your website. So it looks at what the pin links to figure out what it is. So they are looking at keywords in places like your image file name, your URLs, even the captions in the pictures on your page, the meta tags, all those things Pinterest pulls in to figure out what your pin is about and how to characterize it. So, and it's also important to use them on Pinterest, like I said, your profile, but also your board titles and your descriptions and your pins. But it's not a place for keyword stuffing. So you want to make that your pin description conversational, but also include the keywords. But you also brought up hashtags, which are relatively new to Pinterest, because in the past, they didn't really function the way we expected them to. And so just recently, Pinterest has really embraced them and created a whole separate method of searching on Pinterest. So we talked a little bit about the keywords, and there's a whole smart feed algorithm which takes into account things like Pinner quality, website quality, all kinds of factors go into figuring out how quickly and how much to serve up your pins. So that's one way of searching. It's just a keyword search through Pinterest, and that uses Smart Feed. The second method of searching uses hashtags. So either you do a hashtag search on Pinterest, so you type in hashtag workout clothes, or you see a hashtag in the description on another pin, you click on it, and that will bring you to a hashtag search result. If you've tried a hashtag search in Pinterest at all, you'll probably notice that you can see when the pins were pinned, which is unique. And the other methods of searching, you can't tell how old the pins are. But this one really shows you that what they're doing is they're pulling the freshest pins that have descriptions. So these are not repins. These are original pins saved from other websites that include hashtags. And it's a chronological feed of the hashtags.
Interesting. So they are starting to work a little bit like Twitter and Instagram with the hashtags.
Yes. Yep, they are.
That's actually very cool.
Yeah, it's kind of a new way to get your newer content surfaced. So especially if you are pinning your own content from your website, you definitely want to get the hashtags in there to get yourself in that hashtag feed.
Can you talk a little bit about the Pinterest advertising, right? Because a lot of us just don't have the patience to create an actual, what was it? It's just called boards, right? Like a bunch of boards and everything. Yeah. So how would you go about, I guess, what tips would you give a company that wants to just get in there quickly and see if they can make it work?
Yeah, so you need a business account. It's really easy to convert to a business account, though, but that will give you access to analytics and to ads. So what I would suggest very strongly is that you start with a traffic ad, because that way you only pay for clicks to your website. And the great thing about a Pinterest ad is that even after your ad is over, your pin remains, and then all those repins on your promoted pin remain. And then anyone who clicks on those after your ad is done, you don't pay for it. Or anyone who clicks on somebody else's repin of your ad, you don't pay for it. So you get a lot more for your money with Pinterest ads than you might expect. So I would definitely start with traffic. There are many different ways to target. So if you have your own audiences, so if you have a good amount of website traffic, or you have an email list, or people are already engaging with pins to your site, you can target those people as kind of a warmer audience. But then if you want to reach out to a broader audience, and Pinterest says that 70% of purchases through promoted pins are brand new customers, then you can do things like targeting interests or targeting keywords.
I see. So remarketing also works with Pinterest. You can sort of drop a cookie in on your website and then remarket to the people coming in?
You can. Yeah. And what I like to do with it is that, and this will go back to the funnel idea, is that you can specify, okay, I want to remarket to people who have been to this page but have not yet been to this page. You can also do things like people on this email list but not on that email list who have been to this page but not that page. You can get really fancy with your targeting. And one thing you can do on Pinterest that I don't know that you can do anywhere else is to target people who have engaged with any pin that goes to your website. So if you were to go to Pinterest.com/source and then enter in your website URL, you're going to see that other people are pinning content from your website, which is great. Now, other people aside from them are saving those pins, are clicking on them, are just doing a close-up on them to see them more clearly. And now you can target those people who are basically twice removed from you but have shown interest in your content.
That's very cool.
Isn't it?
That's very cool. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
that's like remarketing on steroids in some ways.
It really is. It lets you reach other people's audiences, which is pretty interesting. There's another thing you can do, because if you have fewer than 100,000 people in your audience, Pinterest considers that small, and it's difficult to scale, but that's kind of a lot of people. So what I tend to do, because I work with a lot of smaller businesses, and when we find an audience that works, whether it's a visitor audience, email engagement, I will create a look or an act alike which is similar to a Facebook lookalike, but a Facebook lookalike is more based on like the demographics, maybe job title, pages that they like, whereas an act-alike is Pinterest kind of analyzing the activity of these pinners and finding people who are likely to behave in a similar way. So those can be super effective. So you could do like an act-alike of 1% gets your audience up to 710 or 720,000 people. And if you find that doesn't seem like an exact enough targeting for me, you can add on keywords on top of that.
From your experience, who would you say the main demographic is on Pinterest? Because I always thought it's pretty much all women.
It is. It's close to 80% women. I think 83% of women 25 to 54 in the U.S. are using Pinterest. So that's a lot of women.
A lot.
Now, yeah, and it's not the same in every country. So in the U.K., it's more 50-50. And for new users signing up, I think they're saying that 40% of new users signing up are men. So, you know, it may start to even out a bit. But, yeah, it is a lot of women who are, you know, planning purchases, planning projects at home. Yeah. But as far as, like, what the most popular categories are, things basically like you would expect, like food and drink, travel, home, kids and parenting, style, either men's or women's, beauty, health and wellness, celebrations, hobbies, and interests. But that's not to say that other things cannot succeed there. You just sometimes have to be creative. Pinterest has a great section on success stories. And Bank of America actually does really, really well with Pinterest and Pinterest ads.
Interesting. How so?
Yeah. So they have found a way to be creative, which I think just about any business could do. But of course, they have the budget to spend the time on it. So what they have done is created a resource for financial health. So if you think about what Pinterest is about, you know, home and family, all kinds of things that do, and travel even, that come down to being financially responsible. So people on Pinterest, they want to become better in their lives in one area or another. So if you think about how that might work, they teach people how to be financially responsible. So it's all about planning for the future, and that's what Pinterest is about. So if you can become a resource for that, they help people how to buy a home, how to make travel plans, and then they create a lot of educational content around that sort of thing.
That's super smart.
Isn't it? Yeah, I really admire what they've done. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's half their audience, if not more. Like, my dad doesn't even know how to go to a bank. It's all my mom's doing it, so.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's, you know, it's really, it's the right market in a lot of families.
It is. And they're really, like, the Bank of America, this particular project they did is really focused on millennials. A lot of millennials are on Pinterest. And, of course, that's what they're thinking about. They're thinking about planning a wedding or getting a job, buying a home. So they've really, like, listened to what their customers are saying, and they've created boards around that.
Wow. Can you walk us through what a sales funnel would look like? I think a lot of people are super curious to how, like, what all the different steps are from, you know, the beginning of the funnel to how they actually can get someone to pay for what they're selling.
Right. So the article I wrote was specifically about using promoted pins to do that, but you could do that with any pins. It's just going to take some time. And I think that's part of the challenge for people of Pinterest, is that it takes longer than some people want. That's right. Just the way it is.
That's
right?
Almost anything.
Yeah, that's true. So sometimes people will ask, well, what should I do? Should I do Pinterest or Instagram? And I will say, yes, you should do both. And especially if they're asking, like, for my client, should I do which one? Yeah, do both, because it's helpful to have that kind of instant gratification you can get from Instagram while you are investing in Pinterest. So I definitely do both. So the way that it works to build a funnel, or get organically is that you're going to get people to your website through these pins, which link to informative articles. Like this one, I just clicked on a Bank of America one that leads to a blog post about tips for buying a second home. So it has a kind of a step-by-step on that. And then at the bottom, it has contact us, schedule an appointment. But a lot of these blog posts will have an opt-in. So it might be like a calendar for planning on buying your home. It has links to calculators like debt to income ratio, but many different ways to get people on your list, because as we all know, email is pretty effective for selling. So if you could get someone on your list who's interested in what you're doing, you can then nurture them to become a customer, you know, pretty standard marketing stuff.
Okay.
But the nice thing about Pinterest in my mind is that it is very generous about sending people to your site. So we know Facebook has really throttled back their reach. They really want to keep people on the platform. And Pinterest, the focus is get out and do something. So the traffic you can get can really add up as far as generating leads and building your email list.
Can you kind of share from your experience the cost of this traffic, especially when it's compared to Facebook or YouTube or Instagram?
Do you mean for promoted pins?
For promoted pins, yeah. If someone just wants to do it quick, just run in and just go wind blazing.
Well, you could do, they have an option which is much like the Facebook boost a post. You could just promote it right from the pin, but I don't recommend that because you can't really choose your targeting options. But when I start with somebody, we'll do one campaign, maybe for one product or service. And then inside that, we'll have various ad groups separated by the different targeting. And I would never do an ad group less than $5 a day, you know, 10, 20, 30 is obviously better and you'll figure out faster what's working. But you could, you know, if you're on a really tight budget, you could do just one ad group at a time, $5 a day, and then swap it out for something else to figure out what's going to work for you.
Okay.
You know, it's an auction like Facebook. So it's going to depend to some extent on your industry. I have known some industries where they pay less than 10 cents a click, and then some where it's hard to get below 50 or 60 cents a click.
Okay. Yeah, the reason I ask is because, like, from my experience, YouTube targeting is about 30% of the cost of the same thing on Facebook.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So I just always like to relate things to Facebook so that people kind of know is Facebook's getting expensive, right? So we do see, we do see people trying to run away.
Right. Yeah. And I think that Pinterest is a good next place to look. I think there's a little bit of caution because you can't completely replicate all the options that Facebook has on Pinterest because it's been around a lot longer. So there are a lot more options for you. So you can't directly translate to Pinterest, but it is pretty good. And like with that engagement targeting, it has some really cool, very smart ways that you can target.
Yeah, the opportunity I see is that right now with Facebook, videos are less expensive than images, right? So the people who are working with images for a long time, they're looking for places to go. And, you know, YouTube's even cheaper, but that's video, right? So
right.
Pinterest is the image kind of, maybe that's the place where, you know, people should test.
You know, that's a great point because Pinterest does now have video ads as well. And I ran a campaign last month or so and compared it to our Facebook campaign. And the views were about the same cost per 8-second view, but we got a lot more clicks from Facebook. So I ended up kind of deciding that for this business anyway, images are probably the way to go.
Right. So you would say a sales funnel would basically be an image ad, let's just take with the images, an image ad on Pinterest going to a landing page with an opt-in on your website.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to do it. The article I wrote was more focused on your ad targeting. So it would be a basic article, and then you would retarget people who had been to that article but hadn't been to the follow-up article on it. Right? So you're leading them down this knowledge funnel towards an opt-in, towards a sale.
Okay. Yeah, the one thing we've been really successful at is sending people to these type of pre-articles through different sources, not Pinterest, but through different ones, and having the bonus content on that pre-article with the opt-in, right? So it's very similar, but you're not waiting to remarket. You're getting a big portion of those people right then.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's a great idea. And you could do that on Pinterest as well. So you could do, okay, people who have been to this page but are not on this email list, right? So you know you're capturing only the people who hadn't already opted in.
So, yeah, that was going to be my question too. Can you exclude audiences?
You can and should, yes.
Because that's one thing where I really do like Google and Facebook. They have that down, especially Facebook. You can exclude really, really easily.
Yeah, this is very similar, yeah.
So I have one more question with other advertising. So with YouTube, the thing I love doing is, for example, if I'm looking at my competition, right? And they've built up a YouTube channel and have two or three amazing videos, I can only put my ad on those three videos. Can you go super targeted like that with Pinterest? So if someone has an amazing board for, let's say, wedding dresses or clothes, can you target that exact board or that person's traffic?
No, you can't. And that's, you know, like Facebook will let you target sometimes people who like a certain page, and you cannot do that on Pinterest.
Okay. Do you have any tips for targeting that maybe you use that are not as well known?
Let me think about that. Okay. Well, this one's kind of new. So it's keyword types. So in the past, you could only do broad match keywords. And if you were advertising anywhere else to you or and to me, that meant search, right? So, okay, so this is broad match to people searching. On Pinterest, in fact, what that meant was that Pinterest was analyzing people's behavior. And if they felt that person was at all interested in that broad match you used, they would show it. So keyword targeted ads were showing up in home feeds and all over the place, where it just didn't make sense to me. Why is that? Shouldn't it just be search? No. So they introduced these new keyword match types, phrase and exact, and those will only show up when people search. So when that first came out, I wanted to see how much of a difference that would make. I had a feeling it would be big. So I did 74 ad groups. Two sets of 74 ad groups, one that was targeted the broad match way and one that was targeted phrase match. So they are identical 74 ad groups. The one that was targeted to phrase match or only showing up in search converted to sales 66% higher rate than the broad match. So in other words, use phrase and exact match keywords when you're targeting your ads. You can try broad match too, but I've kind of moved away from that. Unless I'm having a really hard time scaling everything else, I stick with the phrase match keywords because they do convert so much higher. The broad match will actually get you more repins and saves, which makes sense, right? Because these pins are showing up in the feed of people who are generally interested in this topic. It's not showing up in a search result for someone who's looking for it right now.
What sort of conversion rates can someone expect on average? So not just sales, but also getting them to opt in into emails.
Well, I think that's going to vary hugely because so much of it depends on the website, right? So I feel like with promoted pins, you can get someone to the website, but once they're there, it's the job of the website to convert. So as far as like a click-through rate goes, 0.2 to 0.3% is pretty good. I've seen a lot higher. If it goes below 0.1%, forget it. Start over. But there are a couple things you could do from your Pinterest ad to increase conversions on your site, and some of that would be to use a little subtle branding on your pin. So it kind of preps people for, okay, this is where I'm going to end up. I'm prepared for that. Use a call to action on your pin. So like if you're on Pinterest at all, you're going to probably see Stitch Fix. And they always use a call to action like get styled, or Target uses one in their description that says, you know, go to our home store and find your table or whatever. But just prepping people for that action before they ever leave Pinterest can increase your conversions once they get to your site.
Have you had a lot of success promoting your own business on Pinterest?
As far as traffic goes, pretty good. Yeah. I don't do a lot of it because I'm doing everybody else's. but yeah, it works well for getting clicks.
Because when I'm looking at your posts, I see just the images above the articles, right? And would you use that same type of image exactly when you're pinning, or would you use something else?
No. So if you click on my sharing buttons, if you click on the Pinterest share button, it's going to bring up an image specifically designed for Pinterest. So it's that taller image.
Got it.
So that's what I pin, and that's hopefully what most people pin.
Very cool.
Now, that's using a plugin for WordPress called Social Warfare, and allows you to enter in the Pinterest description you want and a special Pinterest-sized image. Yeah. So most people don't want that big image at the top of their blog post.
It's true. I was just wondering if you use the same thing, or if you just adjusted for Pinterest also.
Yeah.
And I see you have an online course too. How is that going?
It's pretty good. My favorite part of it is the Facebook group that goes with it, because people come in there with their real world questions. And it's great to see other people start to help them out.
And how
so
do you,
it's really fun.
How do you promote that course? I'm not seeing a lot of promotion on the website.
No, there's not a lot. I've done some with affiliate sales and some with my email list.
Because actually, I don't even see a place to sign up here. I just see a login.
Yeah, it should be in the sidebar.
I think you should take a look at your sidebar again.
Okay.
Well, I'm always curious because I have one company that works on online courses too, and I always, you know, have to ask about this stuff. Just super curious myself.
Yeah, it's like me asking about Pinterest. Yeah. I get it. It's your thing. I get it.
Cool. Alisa, thank you for coming on. Where can people find you?
Yeah, thank you, Tom. They can find me. I blog at blog.tailwindapp.com and also at alisameredith.com.
You know, before we get off, what is this Tailwind thing? Let me look at it.
What is
you
this can Tailwind thing? Someone asked me this morning if it has something to do with wind energy, but no, it does not. It is a Pinterest and an Instagram scheduling and analytics tool, which I have used for years, and it was always my first requirement when I got a new customer was you got to have a Tailwind account, because it has analytics that help you really figure out which boards are working on your account, which pins are working on your account, and helps you get them out at the best times to get the most engagement, which means you'll show up more in search.
So in other words, you're saying that Pinterest by itself has really crappy analytics tools.
No, actually, I love Pinterest analytics tools too, especially if you go into, I think it's People You Reach, Analytics People You Reach. It tells you a ton about your audience on Pinterest, like where they're from, what language they speak, the gender, even their interests, which helps you expand your own Pinterest strategy. Yeah, I love them both.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks again.
You're welcome, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect, Lee Bell. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.